fighting for America.
To those members of Congress who question my authority to make our immigration system work better, or question the wisdom of me acting where Congress has failed, I have one answer.
Fighting for Idaho.
We're hearing out here on the scene that the building exploded and then collapsed.
I just saw the door like literally come to the middle of the street and it hit my mom's friend's car. It busted her car window out.
Fighting for you.
How in the world?
Oh my goodness.
I mean, he is insane. How do you make that catch?
That may be the greatest catch I've ever seen.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO, our great friend Bob Dane with us from FAIR. Bob, good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Kevin.
Let's talk a little bit about the state of America today. We've had an election. We've had results. We've had movements a lot of ways towards amnesty, against amnesty. Where are we?
Well, things changed quite a bit in the aftermath of the election. What we have certainly seen here, obviously the House Republicans picked up their biggest majority since 1946 and regained control of the Senate, and they have the full control of the largest number of state legislatures since 1928. That is a huge operational advantage to start rolling back Obama's radical immigration lax enforcement record. Frankly, on the immigration standpoint, I think one of the most interesting outcomes of the election is that now you've got Republican governors in liberal Massachusetts, Obama's home turf of Illinois and Maryland, critical because those are three of the very hardest hit states by illegal immigration fueled by these expanding sanctuary policies. You know, look, clearly America has had transformational changes in our past, lots of them. You know, industrial revolutions, civil rights victories, labor, food, transportation, environmental protections. You could say that has all made us safer and stronger and more prosperous. But those evolutions have been grassroots and over time brought about by legislation. Obama's transformation of America, which includes largely transforming America demographically by way of immigration, by the stroke of a pen, is non-consensual and by executive fiat. So you can only take people so far so fast before they say no, and I think we're looking at a new day and a new common sense direction for immigration. But, of course, we've got to beat back the president on his amnesty plans first.
Bob, we take a look at the people who voted. The people have been with you fighting for America for many, many years. The Republicans will, you know, take you to the dance, but, leave you at the altar, if you will. Do you think that this time it's different?
You know, the recent election offered Republicans convenient cover on the immigration issue. They were all campaigning about what they were against, and what they were against is the fact that Obama has threatened to, you know, double down on immigration and use two phones and two pens now to do amnesty by executive action. Okay, that's great. For the GOP, you know, please fight amnesty. But once the threat of amnesty is over, what is the GOP for? You know, and what is that for, quote unquote, going to include? Hopefully it includes protecting the American worker, securing our borders, and not turning a blind eye to lax enforcement and not being pushed along by the U.S. Chamber of crony capitalism wanting to flood the U.S. labor markets.
Bob, you bring up a great point here at 580KIDO, and that is the Chamber of Commerce, the big business in Idaho. It's the dairy folks that want the lax immigration policies because, quite frankly, and if you could please detail how the taxpayers are subsidizing their health care and their education.
Yeah, look, the Chamber of Commerce want unending amounts of cheap labor. They don't have any regard for how that harms American workers who for 40 years now have been watching our wages go down and our jobs taken. You know, evidently hiring an American is no longer a job a corporation is willing to do. Supporting capitalism and free markets and low taxes and reduced regulation, that's great. And that's really, you know, the best aspect of the Chamber of Commerce. But selling out the American worker in favor of more foreign labor and supporting amnesty, it's not resonating well with voters, and especially unemployed voters. Where is the moral and the ethical high ground of big business and these political parties, both sides, Kevin, colluding to close down the American worker in favor of these cheap, newly legalized foreign labor. Now, again, nobody's indicting free enterprise or capitalism, but let's not put profits over patriotism. You know, I think maybe it's time we had a bill of rights for the U.S. worker.
Bob Dane, that's a great idea. No, I mean, really, I'm sitting here. My favorite is when you have the shallow, callow Republicans along with their brethren in the Democratic Party going, well, the American people have voted and they want immigration reform. No, the American people want border control, border stability. What's going on the border that we can't have the political will to shut it down?
Well, you know, I recently saw a news article about the European Space Agency who were jubilant about having landed a sophisticated piece of equipment on a comet traveling at 72,000 miles per hour, 310 million miles from Earth. And it occurred to me, why the devil can't we catch an illegal alien doing, oh, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 miles on foot along the U.S. border? Look, you know, this is really not about what you can do. It's about the will of what you want to do. This president has dismantled interior and perimeter enforcement. He's using immigration as a blunt political instrument to change the electorate, the demographic of our country. And ultimately, true immigration reform at this point, you know, although the list is lengthy of things we can tweak and fix, it's mostly enforcing the laws already on the books and having the will to do it.
Well, that is the case. Bob, talk a little bit about FAIR and what you all do. It's not an easy job, but it is one of the most important that that one can have in America.
Yeah, look, our position for 35 years at FAIR, Kevin, has been that immigration has to serve the broad national interest, not special interest. Having sensible limits that are faithfully enforced, it's a common sense notion. And I think it cuts across party lines, racial lines, gender lines, generational lines. We all have a stake in rational enforcement of reasonable laws. Isn't it interesting that even though we all have a common stake in it, that immigration is the most contentious issue on the American landscape? Most of us are on the same page and don't even know it. But the media has been so successful in making the issue of immigration about race and injustice that we either shy away from it or we run from it when somebody objects to the common sense notion of reasonable enforcement of rational laws. Again, immigration, it's a social, domestic, discretionary policy designed to serve our broad national interest. It's not an instrument to redistribute wealth, and it's not a social justice agenda.
Well, what also gets me is the idea that you have, and Bob, I don't know if it was your group, but if it wasn't, you've brainwashed me that everything good about our sovereignty is coming from you guys for your years of dedication. That's true. I admire what you do because you've been vilified. You've been attacked by the press and La Raza and all these folks for just standing up for what's right. But the idea that in Tennessee, most of the jobs went to foreign-born folks. In New Hampshire, 91% of new jobs, people that aren't from this country.
Yeah, look, borders uphold wages. Without secure borders, Kevin, the U.S. employment market becomes a global job fair. Because if anyone can come in any time, wages drop to the low global denominator. There's a certain stewardship in borders. It's a matter of national ethics to maintain a line of geography and sovereignty. You know, illegal immigration doesn't provide quote-unquote cheap labor. We know that. It provides subsidized labor. And it's you and I who are doing the subsidizing. We're losing almost $400 billion a year annually worth of wages due to displacement by immigrants. You know, so the ones who truly gain from massive numbers of immigrants in the workforce are the business owners who cheat and hire illegal workers, not American workers. Privatized gain, socialized loss, completely unacceptable. We are not sensibly limiting immigration to maintain this balance between the supply of labor and the demand for jobs. I mean, we simply have too many people looking for too few jobs.
Besides you, there's one man in Congress that seems to have your back, and that's Senator Sessions, has the back of the American people.
Yeah, look, you know, while we are leaving the immigration decisions to, you know, Democrats who use it for instant voters, business interests looking for cheap labor, and a president who uses it to, you know, deconstruct and rebuild their country in a socialist vision, there are some good heroes in the Senate and in the House, and Senator Sessions really gets this issue. He wants to stop illegal immigration, and he's mindful of the fact that maybe we have an excess amount of legal immigration right now. Senator Sessions is really leading the charge, a good man.
What do you make of the push by people to deconstruct the United States of America? You have people that look that want to come to this country that do so legally, and then you have folks that, you know, just want to strengthen their enclaves.
Well, there's no question. I think the Democrats see an advantage in using mass immigration as an instrument for their own survival. If a massive amnesty bill were to happen, which of course would induce further and further flows of illegal immigration, you'd see several things happen. Americans, of course, would have increased competition for jobs. Our wages would go down. Our welfare burdens, which are already at the breakpoint, Kevin, would surge because most of those given amnesty are low-skilled and heavily government-dependent. And finally, the two-party system in America, and Obama knows this very well, that two-party system in America would evaporate because it would add millions of poor immigrants who generally vote for Democrats. So then if you take things to the logical conclusion, if this amnesty bill happens and we continue down this track of more and more and more low-skilled third-world immigration, Democrats rule in perpetuity. And then there's no check or balance to the massive government debt we now have. I mean, it's not an exaggeration to say that if a massive amnesty is put in place, the United States of America would certainly be much different, if not unrecognizable, in a few short years.
Bob Dane with us from FAIR as we continue on. What's the acronym stand for?
Federation for American Immigration Reform, FAIR. Look, I know there's a lot of definitions of what immigration reform is, and there's been a lot of hijacking of that term. True immigration reform has nothing to do with amnesty. It involves sensibly limiting the flows of immigration and enforcing laws already on the books so we enhance our economic prosperity and maintain our sovereignty. That's pretty much the beginning and the end of it, and it's not exactly high math, is it?
No, it isn't, and I just love how the selective accountability. If I break the law, if I go, you know, speed, I get a ticket, but people can come to this country illegally and there's no enforcement.
Yeah. Look, I think we are turning the corner here. I think the American public has begun to understand that immigration, it's not just an issue. It's more than that. It's the common denominator in every other social policy formula. Voters have been connecting the dots now, and we certainly saw it in the last midterm election, between massive immigration and jobs and healthcare and education, national security and public health. The public sees illegal immigration getting worse. They're watching the president making it worse by not enforcing the law, and they're really fed up with Congress doing nothing to stop it. Why? Because they know the problem can be fixed, and they're tired of waiting. You know, I think the tipping point here has been Obama's petulant threat to use executive action to enact amnesty, just a bridge too far for most common-sense Americans.
More coming up with our great friend Bob Dane from FAIR next, 580.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our friend Bob Dane with us from FAIR, talking about the future of America. What do you say to people that have kids in college or little kids that, you know, want jobs? Are we going to become Brazil?
Well, you know, first of all, we saw this myth in America that there were jobs Americans wouldn't do on the lower end of the labor scale, janitorial and landscaping. That never was true. It never will be true. Americans will do any job, provided the wages and the working conditions are good. And now, thanks to the corporate elitists like Zuckerberg of Facebook and others, and Bill Gates of Microsoft, lobbying the White House to bring in more and more and more, millions more science, technology, engineering, and math workers from China, Pakistan, and India, for someone who's young, who has invested heavily in their education, you're looking at pretty stiff competition. I mean, what do you say to a mom or a dad who just plunked down $150,000 and got their kid through an Ivy League school in computer science, and now they've got to compete against hundreds of thousands of foreign guest workers who are willing to work for cut rate wages? It's fundamentally unfair. You know, it is all about the labor market right now. We've been losing manufacturing jobs overseas for decades. So we're exporting jobs. Then we're importing about 1 million legal immigrants every year. You got 13 million illegal aliens in the country, half of them taking jobs they have no legal right to. And then on top of that, we're bringing in almost 1 million more foreign guest workers, and yet you got 22 million Americans looking for work. I mean, for the next generation that are coming into their career, the beginnings of their career, you know, they really need to take a hard look at how immigration is affecting their opportunity. And we've got to start using immigration to tighten the labor market, not expand that. If we do that, unemployment goes down, wages go up, and younger people will have better opportunities. And guess what? More money to spend, too.
Bob Dane with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. What does it say to, though, the plumbers, laborers, framers in the South and other parts of the country that find themselves out of work because people will hire the illegals to do stuff cheaper?
You know, they are the true victims of illegal immigration. All too often our mainstream media portrays the immigration issue in with victimhood. And the victims are the poor illegal aliens who make this noble and heroic journey up to America and then are denied the opportunity to work. But there really is nothing heroic about breaking the law. There is something heroic about maintaining wage stability and keeping people out of the labor market who have no legal right to do that. Again, we're not sensibly limiting immigration to maintain the balance between the supply of labor and the demand for jobs. The American worker, I think, on all, you know, up and down the labor chain, has a right to expect its government to protect its citizens' jobs from unfair competition. I mean, isn't it enough we're exporting our manufacturing jobs overseas? Do we need to also import foreign labor and further reduce our prosperity?
You know what gets me is the Republicans that keep talking about, well, you know, we've got these high-skilled workers that come over here, and really it's a scam to bring in indentured servants. We have more than enough high-tech workers to field these jobs, and yet we have the big-money corporations that want to hire the foreigners at the expense of kids that have mounting tuitions, mounting student loans to pay back, Bob.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's this assumption that the U.S. economy is lagging because we don't have enough scientists and engineers to meet industry demand. You know, the argument has the appeal of motherhood and apple pie. It sounds right, but it's not. I mean, U.S. colleges right now, Kevin, are graduating more scientists and engineers than can find employment in those fields every year. We've got a surplus of 200,000 people in the IT industry. And on top of that, you know, we're already granting almost 75,000 H-1B visas each year. So, you know, it's a flawed assumption. Immigration needs a redo from the ground up to reconstruct our entire admissions process from chain migration to a skills-based one. And, you know, these add-ons, simply adding more foreign guest workers, I think it ignores the problem of too many and too few skilled.
What do you make of the new Congress? Is it going to be just more of the same?
Well, the Republicans are going to need a watching, very much so. The Republicans are worried that if they try to stop the president from doing amnesty by holding up the budget bill, that they will look like obstructionists. You know, frankly, they need to worry about what America will look like if an amnesty bill goes through. They need to serve their country. Here would be my primary advice for the Republicans. Forget your party. Serve the country first. And you know what? If you do that, you might just win the popularity contest, because serving the broad national interest and not your party is a pretty novel concept in D.C. these days.
Finally, every year, through exorbitant expense, you invite a lot of folks from talk radio You've graciously invited me every year. Our friend Bill LeMay from Raleigh goes. He always raves about it. What's that like, putting on that talk radio event? Because people here love to talk about the industry when you have these hosts from all over the country. And is it effective as far as holding Congress's feet to the fire?
It is, one of the great pioneers of modern-day talk radio, Randy Michaels of Clear Channel Communications, referred to talk radio as the voice that roared. If you can imagine 60, 70 radio talk hosts all gathered in one place at one point in time, all on one issue, you can imagine this veritable electronic town hall of talk radio that not only gets the attention of the media, sort of coverage of the coverage, but most of the members of Congress come over and discuss immigration. Unfortunately, we have to do this each year because ultimately, with the mainstream media that is complicit in the Obama immigration agenda, really the only thing we're left with is good rank-and-file Americans who gather together in this electronic town hall of talk radio. And God bless you, if it wasn't for talk radio, we would be in a post-amnesty phase of America, where the rule of law no longer mattered, and we would no longer enjoy the sovereignty of the United States of America.
And one can only hope that the politicians still continue to listen.
I think so. I hope so.
Bob, not that this is an original phrase, but I'll use it anyway. You're a great American.
And you too, sir. Thank you.
All right, Bob Dane, take care. All right, our great friend Bob Dane joining us from FAIR, and every year they gather in Washington, and you know, people say, well, Kevin, why don't you go? Why don't we go there? You know, our battle is here. We want to be here for you. So good luck to Bob and the crew there. And we'll continue to go up and down with what is amnesty, what isn't amnesty, right here. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men,
men, men, men, men, manly men, men,
538, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us, the Manly Man segment. On one of the slower days of the year, I know that because Dave Burnett, Sons of Anarchy, isn't coming back for 2 weeks. Homeland isn't coming back for 2 weeks. Either I'm talking on the radio or I live vicariously through these series on TV. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So what does that say when all the major shows just take 2 weeks off because,
well, it's Thanksgiving and everybody's going to be shopping or eating turkey or blah, 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 blah. Well, TV, and I don't know if it's the advent of satellite or, you know, cable programming. It's very different than it used to be. It used to be, you know, they would have the season premiere that first week of September when everybody went back to school. That's when, you know, the new episodes of Gilligan's Island were. And then they would stay good until May. You know, maybe Christmas week they might run a rerun. But now it's like, it's a season finale of, you know, this show. It's like, what? And now The Mentalist, it's a season debut. How could it be? It's November. It'll be December when they have the debut of The Mentalist.
Or the summer premiere of.
Yeah, you know, and some shows start in June, but wait, here's one that starts in August. So, and you just can't base your life off of TV anymore, Kevin.
Here's another good one, though. Do you watch the shows through their entirety? I know you don't watch the commercials. However, do you watch the dramas and everything else? I found myself doing something lately, and I want to know if you do it as well.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think I watch them all the way through.
Like, my wife always goes, oh, you don't like that movie. Well, that's not her voice because she listens, so I can't really do that.
Yes, dear.
her criticism of me is, oh, there goes an emotional scene. Time for the fast forward.
No, I'll watch the emotional scenes.
I find myself, though, if the dialogue's whatever, I just start fast-forwarding.
No, I watch a whole show.
I'm kind of like a millennial, you know, the ADD thing.
I figure if I'm not willing to watch all 41 minutes or whatever they do of a show, an hour show, if I'm not willing to watch it all, then I won't even watch the show.
And it just makes you wonder. It just makes you wonder the future of TV with, you know, the Kindles and the tablets and everything else.
Well, I heard somebody, and I can't remember who it was that made the statement. Like maybe it was Glenn Beck. Somebody made the statement last week that the TV networks don't know how to make hit shows,
And they don't know what to do. They're struggling to figure out how to make hit shows. They can't even make reality shows hits anymore. You know, The Amazing Races, The Survivors. Who's talking about those shows? No one.
Well, they moved our Amazing Race, though, to
Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I DVR it and watch it on Sundays where I used to watch it, believe it or not.
Yeah. And the two guys, did you watch it Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't want to ruin it for you. You know, the two gay guys got it.
Yes. Yeah, they got lost or did something wrong. Or no, they chose to do a challenge and change.
Now, have you been watching Survivor?
Kind of.
Now, the one gay guy got it. And then the other guy that was, you know, the leader of the other alliance, they got him.
I just hope that these people are in that country legally. That's all my hope is, that they got the papers and got them down there legally.
The best line ever on Facebook was from Tom Bigby, who used to run CBS, saying, did the president just declare himself legal? That's still to this day.
That's a good question. But no, you know, TV has just changed. And I think maybe Beck was right that the networks, NBC, CBS, Fox, they don't know. I mean, what Fox show is a big hit?
Oh, boy.
Is there a Fox show that's a big
hit? I like The Following. I like The Following, but it's not a hit.
For a while, they were, you know, really coming on strong. And they had The X-Files and had, you know, a bunch of shows that were right up in there. And then they had American Idol, which became a huge hit for Fox, and now I have a hard time even naming a show that's on Fox.
Well, The Following, 24, they brought 24 back.
I haven't watched it since they brought it back. I used to be a big fan.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, so, I mean, me, the average chump out there watching TV, it's like,
How about sports? Are you still into sports?
Quite a few of them, yeah.
Did you watch them yesterday? Because I have to say that I don't know what's going on with me. Maybe I'm going through some type of midlife crisis, but I'm watching football and I'm just like, boring.
In fact, I came in and I went out and did something, came back in. My wife was sitting and the Denver game was on. It's like, you can change it if you want. I don't care. You know, and it was a good game. I just don't care.
Yeah.
So, no, I kind of agree. I don't know if I'm burned out. College sports, well, I had other things going on. I was out of town on Saturday. I was out of the state, but you know, I didn't really watch even the Bronco game. Normally, I would have taped it and watched it, but then I saw on Twitter, and maybe that's it. I'm getting a lot of it on Twitter, and it's like, oh, I already know it. Okay, spoiled. Maybe that's part of it. Twitter's spoiling TV for me.
Maybe.
It could be, because after seeing the blowout on Saturday night, I didn't bother. Yeah. Oh, well, didn't care.
Well, we've discussed the future of entertainment, if you will. People love that binge thing, though. They'd love to watch it on their tablets or whatever. Well, I never thought that would happen, but
It is. You can sit down and, you know, especially when it's an hour show and it's, what, 43 minutes? Is that what they put in? 43 minutes? You know, you can sit down and a couple hours, knock out 2-3 shows all at once. Bam! Just save them up and watch them on the tablet.
Speaking of bam at 580KIDO, one thing that we didn't discuss last week is Bill Cosby.
Yeah, you know, boy. You know, here's somebody that came out, very conservative voice, but now, you know, character is suspect. I don't know. You know, I don't know what to think. Is everyone piling on, or is there something to it? This many voices, you have to begin to wonder.
What is it, up to 30 or something like that now?
Yeah. It's like, holy cow, that's even beyond piling on.
Yeah, but if that's the case, how do they keep quiet? Some for over 30 years.
You know, I don't know. You know, I was talking to a woman about it. You know, it's like, how do you stay silent? And they say, you know, you don't understand the shame and the ridicule and the pressure that's put on you, especially if it's a powerful person.
Right.
And I had to say, yeah, I guess I don't understand it, because I don't understand that. But obviously it's something, the ridicule and shame is something that's very real and tangible.
Right.
So I don't know. You know, how much is piling on? People hoping to get a, you know, piece of the Cosby fortune, and how much is true? That'll have to be sifted out, I guess.
But at 580KIDO, here's the issue that I don't get. How, I understand the shame and everything else, but why now?
I don't know, and I don't know if it's because one person stepped up and so the rest went, you know, now's the time to go. It's go time. I don't know. You know, I'm sounding very hesitant on it, but I just don't know. You're talking about a man's reputation, his legacy at this point of his life.
Right.
Because he's got a lot more past than he has future. So you're talking about a man's legacy. Will he be remembered as, you know, must-see TV Thursday night, Cosby, you know, comedian, conservative voice for the black community, or will he be known as a creeper?
Well, NBC canceled his deal. TV Land pulled the Cosby shows.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's big enough, and these network officials feel that it's enough to taint their product.
Well, that's the trouble, though. How do you overcome the perception, whether it's the reality or not, and what about the presumption of innocence?
Well, I mean, that's the case, and that's why it's difficult in that, you know, I mean, it's like a child molester. Once a man is called a pedophile, I think it's probably the worst thing you can call a man is a pedophile or a person, you know, right. Either way, but typically it's within men. But then if it's not true, you're forever labeled that.
Here, but this brings me to the point that I wanted to start with today, and we finally got to it.
Big circle.
See how I plan that whole thing?
Yeah, that's a big circle.
546 at 580 KIDO. Here's the issue. There's a push now to get a domestic violence registry, like a sex offender registry.
Mm-hmm.
And they interviewed our friend, Canyon County Sheriff, chairman of the Man Up Campaign Crusade, Kieran Donahue, about this. What do you make of if you've committed domestic violence that you should register with the state?
Well, I mean, and that goes both ways. It goes to men and to women. You know, it goes both ways. Men tend to be more of domestic violence, but, you know, there's, you know, again, there's so many circumstances that go with that. I mean, to what degree of domestic violence? That an argument got heated enough that people shoved each other, or that somebody punched somebody in the face? Big difference. I mean, there's big difference.
No, I totally agree with you, but...
And if you say yes, are you forever tainted?
Right. Is that what public service does that entail, except shame?
Well, you know, and I guess shame plays a part in our system. I mean, at one point it was stockades. Stockades wasn't for the physical punishment. Stockades was meant to shame somebody when they've done something wrong.
Right.
And I guess maybe the internet is the public version of the stockades.
Right. And here at 580KIDO, I just go back to that's a personal thing. A sex offender, you're worried about them going after your kids, mm-hmm. or yourself. What about, does that cross over to domestic violence?
Well, I think it does if you talk to single women who are out dating, or men, because it goes either ways. But typically it's the man who's you know, more likely to be a domestic abuser. Yeah. If they're dating and it's somebody brand new, he could come on as Mr. Slick, Mr. Real Charmer. But the guy be a real dog and be a woman hitter.
Or here's the other one. People make stuff up, too. I mean, it's...
Well, I think if it's committed and if it's...
A crime, yeah.
If it's, yeah, convicted in the court.
Well, what about rehabilitation, though, at 580KIDO? I mean, you have people that are felons that still have to work. I mean, I ran into a lady that I... And you're going to love this. I ran into a lady who was part of the massive biker motorcycle club
mm-hmm.
folks that donate every year. And she used to work at a place near here. And she came up to me and said, and I never even knew this. She goes, yeah, that was the only place I could get a job. And they gave me a chance. And I thought, wow, here she is, a productive member of society. Granted, riding on the back of a motorcycle, not that there's anything wrong with that. And she's a very nice young lady. In fact, she remembered how I was kidding her about the cow and the milk right in front of her husband there. Oh, no, that wasn't me. That was Timmy I was hanging out with, which was kind of a scary sight there for a couple minutes. But, you know, here you have opportunity. So if all of a sudden you're labeled this, how in the world are people ever going to trust you and move on? I mean, I see what I'm saying?
Well, I guess, Kevin, in my mind, and yeah, actually, I do have relatives who have been involved in things. It's there. If you do something boneheaded and stupid, guess what? There's a price to pay for it.
Right.
And sometimes that price to pay follows you. If you domestically abuse a woman and you punch her in the face, if you're Ray Rice and you punch her out, there's a price that will follow you forever for your stupid actions. Have you rehabilitated? Have you changed? Perhaps. But there's a price to pay for your stupid actions. And it's something that young people sometimes don't get, that the dumb things you do in your youth will follow you forever.
Well, the Ray Rice thing, let's face it, they've turned Roger Goodell into, I mean, it's almost like Ray Rice beat Roger Goodell. I mean... You know, and this is how I think it went down. The owner of the Ravens called him and said, hey, you need to cut this guy a break. Goodell did that. And now all of a sudden, Goodell is the bad guy. Ray Rice punched his wife now.
Yeah.
And what does that say about her that she decided, oh, I'm going to marry him? Well, I guess it's all about the money or love or something like that.
That or she assumes that he's rehabilitated. I don't know.
That was a quick one.
Yeah, that would be quick rehabilitation, and only she can answer that. Now, you know, that's her decision to do that, which is crazy to me. I don't understand that. But, again, the things we do in our youth, there are consequences, and sometimes when you do stupid things, if you decide to drive drunk and you kill somebody, guess what? That's going to follow you.
Well, it should. It just comes down to, and again, domestic violence is horrible. We have the big form on it. Do you cross that line? And is that an invasion of privacy?
To tell somebody that you're...
Well, I mean, you have a domestic violence registry like a sex offender registry.
Again, if you're convicted of it in a court of law, there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. I mean, why should then a sex offender? Maybe he's rehabilitated.
Well, again, judging the difference between a sex offender, you're worried about coming after you or whatever. I mean, a domestic violence person, if you're married.
Yeah, well, if you're a 105-pound woman, you might be worried that a 250-pound guy is going to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, easy to say when you're a big guy, hey, punch me in the face, I'll try to punch him back. But if you're a 105-pound woman, it's a whole different story.
Indeed.
And some of these guys, very slick. They come off as, you know, that's why, you know, it's interesting. Several single women that I talk to that I know, when they start to see somebody, they check the IDO repository. Let's see if this guy has a criminal record. Let's check this background. It's all these background checks. Back in my day, it was you go out for coffee, you know. But now they have all these things they check to make sure that they're safe before they go out.
I don't really even talk to single women. Well, I talk to you. That's about it.
And I'm not a single woman. I'm a very married man.
No, but I mean, that's just, you're much more social than I am.
Kevin, your traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County into Ada County. Looking good.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
A deadly attack in Afghanistan. We'll have the latest from Kerry Patton, plus the latest on ISIS. First, let's get you to work safely and on time. 5:59, Kevin Miller in the morning. Again, a deadly attack in Afghanistan. If you missed Fox News at the top of the hour, they'll have the latest on that concerning a volleyball tournament. And all of a sudden, you have a bombing happening, over 50 people injured. You know, why is the media continuing to ignore Afghanistan? And by the way, a public service announcement. I do want to keep our great, wonderful friend and her family in our thoughts and prayers. And that is Nagmeh Abedini. Pastor Saeed will not be enjoying Thanksgiving with his family. He'll be in an Iranian jail. By the way, the same Iranian government that we're desperate to do a deal with. Hey, guys, I don't understand this. They have our people held against their will, and we're gonna give them money? Let's break that down next with Kerry Patton. Kay Milley, want to thank everyone for Miller's Mission, 580 KIDO.
Serving Meridian.